This is the B-side of the lecture on the introduction to Jeremiah the prophet. We have been seeing in the first chapter of Jeremiah that he was an axial prophet. He was given a commission, an awesome commission, that he was to destroy various nations and that he was to raise up others. He was to build and to plant. He had two other prophets associated with him, Ezekiel and also Daniel, which we will give information on about later. But this axial prophet Jeremiah was the most formidable of all of them when you really look at the circumstances involved, because he was the first one to be called. He was the first one to be told that he was to be an individual selected from before birth to go to the nations of the world, and that a whole new system of civilization was to develop. That civilization, we are going to find out, was to be called the civilization of Babylon, under the suzerainty of the Babylonian political and religious system. That system would last until the kingdom of God would arrive here on earth. And the prophet who would introduce it would be this very person we're talking about here, Jeremiah. He lived as a prophet to conclude the civilization of former period and to introduce a new period of civilization, a new age, the Babylonian age. Now, associated with him was Daniel. Daniel was of the king's seed. He was made a eunuch as a very young boy, but he was taken to Babylon. And there he was in the court of Babylon as a young boy, and he became very wise, as we see in Daniel chapter 1. But then, to fulfill this prophecy of how Babylon was to become the dominant power and last from there on until the kingdom of God would arise on earth, we find that Nebuchadnezzar was given a dream by God. The dream was rather a powerful dream that disturbed the emperor, the king, very much. But he could not interpret it. He asked his Babylonian priest to come and interpret it for him, and none of them were able to do it. But we find, as we go through Daniel chapter 1 and chapter 2, that the young man called Daniel was able, through his wisdom and through his reliance upon God, to tell Nebuchadnezzar not only the interpretation of the dream, but what the dream was about in the first place. And he told Nebuchadnezzar that there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. He makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, from his own time down through the various years, decades, centuries, even several thousand years, beyond 2,000 years, into the future, until a time when a further kingdom would come which would dominate the entirety of the earth. And that kingdom would be the kingdom of God. Nebuchadnezzar was told this in a dream, and Daniel was the one who was given the power to interpret it. Interestingly, it falls into place exactly with what Jeremiah was told. This is the very period of time that Jeremiah was brought up as an axial prophet. And here is Daniel interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream that God had given to him. And it starts out in Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. I must give this to you here to be able to point out the role of Jeremiah in all of this. And you'll notice in verse 31, Daniel says, "You, O king, saw, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form thereof was terrible." It was a very fearful sight that he saw. "This image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay." You will notice that it was getting less intense as you go down, or less precious in the metals, and finally no metal at all at the bottom. The feet were made of, well, yes, iron, but part of clay. "You saw till that a stone was cut out." It goes on to say, cut out of a mountain that he saw. "This stone was cut out without hands." No hands cut it out. "And it came and smote the image upon its feet. And the image was made of iron and clay, and it brake them into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold, once it had fallen over, broken to pieces together, they became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away. It means that this stone that came down out of the top of the mountain came down with great force and hit this image on its base, on its feet, on its 10 toes. It toppled over, and then the stone then pummeled this image into dust, to where it was no longer found anywhere. And it says the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth, the stone cut out without hands. Now, it says, this is the dream, Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar admitted that that was it. None of the others could tell, but Daniel did. And so Nebuchadnezzar obviously was very impressed that here is this young man that not only could tell him what his dream was, but now he was about ready to hear what the significance of this dream was to be. And it has to do with the latter days. Going on, it says in verse 36, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king, O Nebuchadnezzar. You, O king, that is Nebuchadnezzar, you are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, that means on this earth, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given unto your hand, and hath made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. Now, that was the interpretation. You, Nebuchadnezzar, are the head of gold. After you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you. And it goes on down. And then another third kingdom of brass, silver and brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as from that breaks all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas you saw the feet and the toes of this image, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom, that means this end-time kingdom, supported by these 10 toes on the feet, on the base of the image, at the end of the image, these shall be in it for strength of iron, but also of iron mixed with miry clay. In other words, it's not going to be as strong as the previous ones at the very end. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom, that is the final kingdom, shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas you saw iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. That means that these last 10 kings that are going to be here on earth before the emergence of the kingdom of God are going to be so diverse from one another that their coherence will only last for a short time, and it's going to be very superficial. Not as it was before in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, very powerful. Not in the time of Persia, very powerful. Not in the time of the next kingdom down, relatively powerful, and the Iron Kingdom. But this one here, the last one, is going to be partly of iron and partly of clay, and they will not cohere together. They're only going to last for a short time. The book of Revelation shows us exactly how long they will last, 3.5 years. But I'm going ahead of myself a little bit here. And in the days of these kings, that is, these 10 kings making up the toes, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That's that stone kingdom that's going to take over control of the entire earth. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king, to you, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall come to pass hereafter from now on. This new system that was prophesied by Jeremiah, of which he was to plan and to build, was a new Babylonian system with the head of gold being Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And just as an image of man, as this was, the head controls the arms, the thighs, the feet, and the toes, so likewise will this whole image, though it goes downward inferior in a way until it finally comes down to the most inferior at the end, though it's going to be powerful because there's going to be iron there, still at the same time it's going to be controlled by the head. And the head is Babylon. That means that the whole system, then, that is going to develop, the system, the civilization, that is going to be planted and built by Jeremiah the prophet through his prophetic role and commission, Daniel is saying here, is going to be called the Babylonian system. Now, to keep that in mind, because it's most important, you and I need to know how Jeremiah is a prophet for our day. Ezekiel is a prophet also for our day. Daniel is a prophet for our day. We're going to see how this Babylonian system that was established back there some 600 years before the birth of Christ is going to be the dominant system that Jeremiah is going to be talking about that will last until the kingdom of God emerges on earth. Now, all of you listening to this tape, this lecture, you know that the kingdom of God has not yet been established on earth. That comes with the second advent of Jesus Christ back to this earth. It's coming in the next few years in advance of us. We are in the tail end portion. We are in the feet portion of this great image that was seen back there by Nebuchadnezzar and interpreted by Daniel, and also reinforced by Jeremiah, who is the axial prophet, to introduce this Babylonian system to the entirety of the world. That's going to come to an end with the emergence of the kingdom of God on earth. Here is Daniel saying, "The dream is certain," that's verse 45, "the interpretation thereof is sure." Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face. He worshipped Daniel, commanded that he should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king then, it says, exalted him into a very high position in the Babylonian kingdom. And Daniel stayed in that high position through Nebuchadnezzar's death, the death of Belshazzar, who was after him, and even into the period of Persia. So we find that Daniel lived a long time to be able to give others interpretation of what God was doing at the initiation of this new civilization, which was going to be called Babylon. And indeed, the nation of Babylon would be the one that would persist until the end of the age, because the head is the head of gold controlling the rest of the image. Now let us go to Jeremiah 25, where his prophecy now, his prophetic role, is delineated here in a most remarkable way. Jeremiah was told that he was a prophet, remember, to the nations, not only just to Israel and to Judah, but to all the nations of the world. And if you'll go to chapter 25 now of Jeremiah, right in the middle of the prophecy here, he then, God does, delineates for us and for Jeremiah the various nations that to whom he was to go and what he was to do with these nations. Chapter 25, verse 1, "The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon." Now, notice this. This is the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Daniel gave that interpretation of the dream that I mentioned to you before in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. This went 1 year before, or this prophecy went out from God to Jeremiah, delineating precisely what he was to do a year before Nebuchadnezzar was given that dream and a year before Daniel interpreted for him in detail. So look at what this prophecy has here. He delineates, God does, the various nations to whom Jeremiah was to go. Now, he was to go to Judah first. Why? Because the Jews were God's own people. And he mentions Judah first. But then he progressively goes to the next nation that he was to be a prophet to. Then the next nation, then the next nation, then the next nation. And it's going right on through until the end nation. And you're going to be surprised at what the end nation is when you look at it. In fact, it's given here in a cryptic form. I'll give it to you as we go along. Verse 2 of chapter 25. "The which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying," and then this is what he begins to say. He goes on here to show in verse 8, Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you of the Jews have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Notice he calls Nebuchadnezzar my servant, God's own servant. He was a Gentile king. And he will bring them against this land of Judah, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and perpetual desolations. It means that they will never arise again, these nations, just like Jeremiah said. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. That was the initiation of the whole thing. 70 years. After 70 years, these nations would never come back to the place that they were before. Let's go on here and look at the nations to whom God sent Jeremiah. Verse 15. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, Jeremiah, take the wine cup of this fury of destruction, this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad. It means that it's going to be like wine that is drugged. They're going to be mad. They're going to become nations or people that are like animals, because they're going to drink of the wrath of God, because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup of the Lord's hand. This is Jeremiah. He just went right over and took it up. And I made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord hath sent me. Now, he enumerates 21 nations. And you know where he starts? He starts first with Judah. He says this in verse 18, to wit, Jerusalem, number one, and the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof, and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse. That is the first nation that's to drink the cup that Jeremiah had in his hand that God gave to him. What's the second nation? Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all the mingled people with him. And then it says, verse 20, the mingled people, the kings of the land of Uz, that's where Job, the patriarch was in former times, all the kings of the land of the Philistines, Ashkelon, Aza, Ekron, the remnant of Ashdod, those are cities. All of these were small kingdoms in the past. You never hear of them anymore after that. Edom, Moab, and Ammon, the kings of Tyre, Sidon, the isles beyond the sea. Then he goes out into the Arabian Peninsula, Dedan, Tema, Buz, and all in the utmost corners, the kings of the Arabians, all the mingled people with them, the kings of Zimri up north, the kings of Elam way in the north, and the kings of the Medes. He ends with the kings of the Medes, except one kingdom left down here. And it says, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another. And then finally he says, all the kingdoms of the world, every kingdom on earth is going to drink. And the king Shishak shall drink after them. The last king to drink will be the king Shishak. Who's Shishak? No one knows who Shishak is. Never mentioned before. But Jeremiah shows who this king Shishak is in Jeremiah 51 and verse 41. Mark that down. Jeremiah 51 and verse 41. Jeremiah identifies who Shishak is. He says Shishak is the king of Babylon. It's a cipher for Babylon itself. Babylon as a cipher or mystery Babylon will be the last of the kingdoms of the world to be destroyed. This Shishak here, it's called really an Atbash, A-T-B-A-S-H. That's the figure of speech. When you take the Hebrew letters, there are 22 of them, beginning with A, B, C, as we have it, as we go, and then X, Y, Z. That's English. Well, if you put them in order, all 22 letters, put them down there, and Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, and so forth, you know, all the way down until you get to Tau, which is the last one. But instead of numbering them from the beginning, number them from the back. And you know, Babel, B-A-B-E-L, if you spell it with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, is B, B, and I think it's the 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is L, saying Babel. But if you start from the back, like our Z, X, Y, you know, and come backwards, you have the letter Shishak there. So it's a figure for Babylon. But it's a backward-turned Babylon. It's called Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon, this Shishak, will be the last to take of the wine cup of God at the end of the age. Daniel says it would last all the way down until the kingdom of God would occur on earth. Here we have in chapter 25 that Babylon would be destroyed last, or that Babylon would continue from this time forward as a civilization, the head of gold, lasting all the way down to the end time. Now in the book of Revelation, and we're going to close on this, in the book of Revelation written by John, coming from Jesus Christ himself, you remember how in chapter 17 of the book of Revelation and chapter 18, what is that mystery political kingdom called that is there? It's called Babylon, Mystery Babylon, the city of the great king who is going to be destroyed at the end of the age. All you have to do is to go back to Revelation chapter 17, and right there it is. It says in verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice. This is Revelation chapter 17 and verse 5 is what I meant to say. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. This Babylon here in Revelation, dealing with the second coming of Christ, is the Shishak, is the mystery Babylon that Daniel and also Jeremiah was talking about. This is all of the earth put together under the head of the king of Babylon, who would have Nebuchadnezzar, and the society, the political and the religious environment that we find is nothing more than Babylonian. In chapter 18 of Revelation, in verse 2, it says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. It's fallen. It's become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. It goes on to say in verse 10 how the city of Babylon and the great empire of Babylon is going to be completely destroyed. And then in chapter 19, we have the second coming of Christ, the kingdom of God coming on earth. It all coheres marvelously together when you put the Old Testament prophecies with the New Testament prophecies. When you put it together, you'll find that Jeremiah was the axial prophet to destroy the ancient kingdoms of the past, but to bring up, to build, and to plant a new type of a civilization with Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, at the head, and that that society would dominate from then on down until our day today. You know what our society is called today as far as God is concerned? It is not the kingdom of God yet on this earth. It is Mystery Babylon. It is Shishak. Shishak, you see, if you just looked at it on the surface, you would never think it's Babylon. But if you start at the back of the alphabet and come forward, you've given the cipher right there. And Jeremiah gives you it so that you would know what he means. But here we come to the book of Revelation, and you know the only kingdom that they're interested in as far as a Gentile kingdom is Babylon. And what are we into this very day? We're still in the Babylonian system of government that was established in the time of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And what was the government that killed Christ Jesus? It was the Roman government, which was a part of this Babylonian system that existed at the time. But we're coming down to the period when the 10 nations at the end of the age, like Daniel said, the 10 toes, and the 10 kings, like in the book of Revelation, they're going to be in existence soon. They're going to be the last remnants of this Babylon. And this Babylon is going to be iron mixed with miry clay. But it's called Mystery Babylon. And when this Mystery Babylon in the book of Revelation is overthrown, this Shishak, we're going to find that Jeremiah's prophecies then, that he gave back there 600 years before the birth of Christ, are going to come to pass with the dotting of an I and the crossing of a T. We're going to find that this book of Revelation is the conclusion to the prophecies, believe it or not, of Jeremiah the prophet. Believe it or not. That this book of Revelation is the conclusion of the prophecies also uttered by Ezekiel, who lived at the same time as Jeremiah. And going on, that this revelation we have here is the conclusion to the prophecies given by Daniel in the book of Daniel. That is why it's most important that we understand who Jeremiah is. He is the axial prophet to introduce the Babylonian system of government on this earth under Gentile serenity until the kingdom of God will emerge with the second coming of Christ. We have a few years left of this Babylonian system that we see around us. Now, the Christianity that we see here today, the churchianity, as I often call it, the Islam that we see, Buddhism, and the rest. Do you know almost every single one of these systems, when you look at the religious ceremonies that they have, most of them do not stem from the Bible at all, but they come right out of this Neo-Babylonian period in which Nebuchadnezzar was the king, right out of the time of Jeremiah, of Daniel, and of Ezekiel. So what we're going to be looking at in the rest of these three lectures is Jeremiah as he pertains to our prophetic period today. Now, I'm going to have to go into the times of Jeremiah. I'm going to have to show what was happening there to set off all of these things. But you're going to find his prophecies not only in the book of Jeremiah, but you're going to find them in the five chapters of Lamentations. You're also going to find several psalms that were written by Jeremiah that have a relevance for us today. And you're also going to see a whole panorama of events connected with Ezekiel and with Daniel that will reach right down to the book of Revelation, which sums up the whole thing. Believe me, we are living in the age of the final stage of Jeremiah's prophecies. Let's pay attention to Jeremiah, because the beginning of the prophecy started in his day, the end are going to be concluded in our day. This concludes Side B of the first lecture of Jeremiah the Prophet for Modern Times.